The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Kieran Mazaria, CEO of Cadence Minerals, KDNC. Ticker there. Kieran, thanks for joining me.
A pleasure as always, Justin.
Yeah, and you must be quite pleased because things are progressing there at Amapa. You've done a second iron ore shipment. You've also done an operation update today on the RNS, and we'll dig into that. But as always, it's not just about Amapa, even though that's very significant part of the company there. Just give us a brief summary as to what Cadence is all about, if you could, Kieran.
Yeah, absolutely, Justin. So Cadence is an investing company that invests in minerals that are going to be utilised in the electrification of vehicles and the coming infrastructure boom that we're seeing around the world. So not only do we have this potential investment in Amapa, we have a significant stake in European Metals Holdings, which is one of the largest lithium deposits, hard rock lithium deposits in the world. And we also have a 30% joint venture on one of the areas of Bacchanora Minerals, which recently, last week, has a potential takeover from Ganfeng Lithium. So yeah, across the board, you know, we're involved in lithium, rare earth metals and iron ore.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get into this, just give a little bit of a backstory on Amapa itself, if you could, and where it's at and how you came to be involved here and what you're doing with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Amapa was a historic Anglo-American asset. They had it valued on their books when they sold it at around 100% for around $600 million. Mm-hmm. It went into JRP because of one of JRP's effectively an insolvency process. Mm-hmm. In 2015 because the port collapsed and therefore they couldn't ship the material and we had very low iron ore prices as well. Mm-hmm. So we got involved over the last 2 years to take it out of that process and revitalize it through investment. And we saw the value in an asset that had effectively was highly de-risked as soon as we got past the legal points, the legal issue. So we got past the JRP, which was approved in 2019. It's been slower than expected progress, but nonetheless progress. And we're now at that stage, we're accelerating progress where we're starting production from the stockpiles. We will vest our 20% once we get a final settlement agreement with the banks, the secure bank creditors, which at the moment we're all aligned as to get that done. Principal terms have been agreed. Unfortunately, COVID is causing some delays from two of the banks, which are based in India. So it is progressing well. And, you know, once we get our 20%, then which we will get for $2.5 million, which we already raised and it's already in escrow. Then the next tranche is for $3.5 million. And that gets us to 27% of this, this asset that was valued at $600 million, and we have a first right of refusal to go to 49% should Indosino, our JV partners, want to raise further capital.
Yeah. Okay. And so tell us about this second shipping, of iron ore, if you could. What's happening? How much have you shipped and what's happening with the money?
Right. So in essence, the shipment of this iron ore is there's a stockpile of, now below 1.39 million tonnes of material of iron ore. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be utilised. It's going to be shipped and it's being utilised as per a court order. Firstly, to pay the small creditors and the employees, which we've deposited 7.5 million reais into the judicial account. So that now KPMG, who are the administrators, will pay that out to those people, which is a really, it's really excellent progress because, it has been since 2015 that some of these people have been waiting for money. And it's only been, through the really hard work across, everyone who's been involved in this project to get that done. The remainder of the net funds from that first shipment is going to be utilized as per the program, which is effectively to carry out the studies, which we need to start looking at scoping studies, and also to sort of start getting the licenses reinstated, which is really important to get this operational. So that was from the first shipment. We've now carried out the second shipment. That second shipment was done in record time for this port within 60 hours. So the ship arrived and it was fully loaded with 48,000 tonnes worth of wet tonnes of material within 60 hours and was off the way. Now, that really bodes well for the, we want to accelerate that and get more ships rather than at the moment we're doing about one a month, trying to get more ships a month to really take advantage of the, you know, the incredibly high prices for 58% Fe iron ore at the moment. So, mm-hmm. you know, that, the, you know, in essence, this is, you know, this money is being utilized to reinvest in the asset, pay some small creditors, and, you know, move this asset forward. And it's great to be able to say that actually, you know, once we get the bank settlement done and we are vested, you know, we will have invested in a profitable asset because, you know, as it's shipping this material, it is profitable. And it should be profitable, barring any major changes in iron prices all the way through to the end of mine life in 14 to 15 years.
Wow, yeah. And so the next bit is what? The next bit of this, I mean, I see you're trying to up the amount of shipments. Are we likely to see another one soon, or what's going on there?
Yeah, so look, we're at the moment doing about one a month, and then we're going to try and improve that over the coming months. That's what we're saying in the RNS, and yeah. that's what we're going to do. And that might be including looking at using the second berth or just that's there as well. But we're just investigating that at the moment, but showing that we can do it efficiently, safely, even in this COVID environment is really important. So the next steps is to carry on shipping this material. I envisage that by the time, because there was a cap on it about net $10 million, by the time we hit that net $10 million, we would have reached an agreement with the banks. And then we'll just carry on shipping this material for between, you know, at the slow end, I would say 18 months, at the fast end, 12 months, or, you know, 48 to 12 months, actually, two to one years, shipping that material. And that material will then get utilized to, you know, in part to reinvest into the asset, recommission the asset. And then over the next coming 2 years, we would complete studies, recommission the asset, which includes recommissioning the port, railway, and the plant, and bring it into production, which in that case, it would be doing about 5.3 million tons of 65%, majority, 90% of it, 65% iron ore, which is high-grade iron ore and the one that, you know, attracts the premium at this point in time.
Yeah. And so, you said it's running, you know, a little bit slow, as you could expect during the pandemic, but you're quite happy that everything's on track?
Yeah. As soon as we started and got this permission to move the material, we've actually been going ahead of schedule and within budget. So things are going faster than expected in terms of this part of it, in which is getting the shipment moving. And, you know, I've always said that we get about one to one and a half per month in terms of shipments. Let's see if we can improve on that. But that's a target. And so let's see if we can improve on that. And, you know, at the moment, we're doing about one a month. So let's ramp this up. It's going well as far as the shipping's going. In terms of operations, that's also going well as well.
Yeah. And, you know, iron ore prices, they're not going to soften in the short term, are they?
No, certainly not in the short term. I can see some fundamental drivers there, because let's look at what Biden is doing in America. If we look at the infrastructure required there and the stimulus that they're going to be injecting there, which is a lot to do with infrastructure, and America has got some pretty poor infrastructure, anyone's flown through there. So that is going to stimulate iron ore, you know, the use of iron ore. And China is still, of course, utilizing, you know, expanding. Whether we are in a super cycle, well, that's for someone who's far more educated than me and knows far more about commodities than I do. But certainly in the short term, we see, you know, a bullish iron ore price for all the materials. And we'll see how it goes over the next 2 years. But, you know, we want to capitalize on this and ship as much as possible in this space of time where the iron ore is at this strength.
Yeah.
And I can see specifically you've got demand side and then supply side. Brazil is slightly curtailed. Australia slightly curtailed. There's about a 2 year gap before these come. It's not switching on and off a light bulb, as many people say. It requires ramp up. It requires investment. And, you know, Brazil's had the two dam disasters, which is, you know, they've got to refurbish a lot of their dams. So these things are going to curtail Brazilian production. And Australia's got about 2 years of before it fully ramps up. So assuming demand stays there, I think we should have a fairly bullish environment for iron ore for the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Okay, as always then, Kieran, three reasons. If someone's liking the sound of this and but not yet following the story, three reasons why they've hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, absolutely. The first reason is a mapper. We have an incredible opportunity to take a significant stake in a project that we're, you know, for effectively $6 million to take 27% stake in this asset. when it was historically valued at $600 million by Anglo American. That's incredible value. Two, we are exposed to some excellent projects in relation to the electric vehicle market, both at EMH and Bacanora Minerals and Hastings Rare Earth Minerals. And thirdly, one approach that we've always taken with investing is we try to de-risk our investment through capital structure, through our technical know-how. And so far today, all the projects that we've vested in and have kept in our portfolio have been technically successful and are bearing out to be commercially successful, as we're seeing with Bacanora.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Kieran, good to chat to you. And hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.